Hello, hello, hello. All right, so here's the deal on this class. We have, I think, four left, and then that'll be the end of it, part one anyway. So let me explain a few things. Number one, I was a little concerned about halfway through that we were not going to finish this one this semester and that I would have to teach another semester, and I didn't want to do that. So some of you remember that I kicked it up and I went about an hour for several of them and hurried a little bit. And now I realize that I shouldn't have done that because it probably would have been perfect. And now I'll teach tonight, but I don't know how long this will go, but it may end up being the last class on this one, or maybe we'll have another or maybe more. I don't know. All right. But then also, part two is, very different from this part one. Part one has been fun. And if you go tell your friends that we had a fun class on the devil, you know, that's probably not the thing to say. But anyway, but part two really primarily gets into one main area. And that area we've designated or assigned a name to it about pro-self, but it's way more than you can imagine. And it's way bigger than you can imagine. Now, here's the problem, is that I don't have all of my notes and everything quite ready, so I'm not sure if next semester I'll start with that. We'll see. so I will get around to that at some juncture. Let's see. I guess that's all. All right. So we've gotten to the point where, well, let me say this. We have pretty much just gone through the book of Revelation. Now, we did start with a bunch of scriptures from other places, but most of the things in relationship to the fears and all of that stuff, like, you know, the Battle of Armageddon, or, you know, so many things are in the book of Revelation. And my teaching on all of those subjects hasn't covered other places where it talks about it in the Bible. For example, the book of Daniel or anywhere else. I've pretty much stuck with the book of Revelation. So there may be angles of certain things that I shared that certain other scriptures, and I haven't found any, but I'm sure there are, that would bring in more or less or something new. this wasn't meant to be a, you know, complete setting forth of all truth that I've touched on, but the one book that most people are afraid of and where they read the stuff that really scares them is the book of Revelation, and I think we've done real well with that. So tonight we're going to talk about Satan as a tool. All right. Now, to do that, I'm going to have to go back to some. I'll hit a couple of scriptures that we've already hit, but with a little bit different angle. But it's important to realize that ultimately, I mean, really and truly, Satan is just a tool that God is using toward his end of getting his son and of getting his son in the way that he wants him understood as a lamb. And I've said a little bit on this before, but the truth is that if this was just like two guys, God and a fallen angel, fighting, God's way, way, way stronger than the devil and his little group there. And God, you know, I mean, my way of thinking would be that if I was God and Satan, who was, let's say, Lucifer, a good angel turned into Satan, and I had foreknowledge, and I could see all the trouble that it would cause, you know, the fall of Adam and Eve and all the way down and going down, all the way down, way, you know, down, and all the things that happened, then I would find me a convenient place early in the start of it and just do away with it, you know, just lock him up in the lake of fire or whatever, you know, bottomless pit, any of that. But God didn't do it that way. And he didn't do it that way because he's mean or because he doesn't care or because he can't, because he's not strong enough or whatever. He could instantly remove the devil and his angels, known by some as demons. But Satan is a tool. So what we want to do is go through some scriptures. And again, I mean, I don't have a whole lot of examples here, so we could end up, you know, this being fairly short. Maybe not. Okay, the first place, which we have talked about, but I want to bring out this aspect now, is Job chapter 26. Job chapter 26. So I'm being specific now, because when I talked about Satan walking the earth and all this other stuff, I didn't use these scriptures. Job 26, starting with verse 12. He divideth, talking about the Lord, he divideth the sea with his power, and by his understanding he smileth through the proud. But his spirit he hath garnished, by his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent. Lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him. But the thunder of his power, who can understand? All right. That's packed full, folks. Do y'all see that? I hope you see that. That this is an understanding that God really is in control of everything and is using those things. Instead of just defeating the devil, he's using his mindset and the way that he goes about things. So I'm going to read it again. He divideth the seas with his power, and by his understanding he smiteth through the proud. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent. Okay, so the information that is hard for us to understand, his hand has formed the crooked serpent. Verse 14, lo, these are parts of his ways. These are parts of his ways. He's made the, you know, I wrote, God creates the glorious heavens and a crooked snake. Both are parts of his ways. Okay? But then he goes on to say, but how little a portion is heard of him, meaning how little do we really understand what he's doing and how he's doing it? And the proof of that is we're always rebuking the devil, and we're always fighting with the devil, and we're always, you know, and have very little understanding how to work with God in this situation with his tool. But we would say, well, you know, God shouldn't use a crooked serpent. Well, he does, and he's God. Stop arguing with him, okay, because it's not going to do you any good. All right. So, and then it goes on to say, I mean, what we just read was, but how little a portion is heard of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand it? See, why did he make thunder? You know, Why does he make lightning? Why are there avalanches? You know, what? See, it just fulfills the fact that we don't understand. But it is saying God did it, and he's allowing it, and he's using it. All right. Let's go to example number two. 2 Corinthians 12. You know this one, but it sure won't hurt anybody to go over this one again. 2 Corinthians 12, starting with verse 6. And this one has to do with Satan as a tool. It has to do with Satan as a tool to deal with people that are exalting themselves. It has to do with a tool that will bring reproaches into our lives that God will use. Something about a corridor or something like that. I don't know. And it has to do with this tool, God using it. Satan's not using it to break down exalting ourselves, but God is, and to bring in reproaches so that we might be weak in the sense of understanding his, God's, weakness. All right, so that's different now. It's not just that God is using the devil or anything else to break us down so that we'll be weak, and that's the goal. It's not the goal. It is to bring us into his weakness. Into his weakness, and in that we will begin to understand God. We'll not just Jesus, not just the Father, not just the Holy Spirit. We will begin to understand God. It is part of their nature. Okay, so let's read it. 2 Corinthians 12. For though I would desire to glory, this is the Apostle Paul talking. Apparently he's like us. What do you mean? He would desire to glory. Okay? I shall not be a fool. Okay, well, you already are. You're still desiring it, buddy. Wait, there's more. For I will say the truth. Good. Come on, buddy. Bring it. But now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. All right. So he's about to set forth a journey that he has gone on that has been based primarily on the dealings into his life of two entities, God and Satan. And this, he's already gone through it, but he hadn't told you the story of it. But the effects of it are on him, the smell, you can smell it. He's being dealt with, and he's not as ready to jump or say, look at me, or whatever. You know, he says, I shall not be a fool, because it would be, I'm not going to go into the meaning of fool, but it would be moronic in a sense to start glorying after going through that kind of stuff. For I will say the truth, but now I'll even forbear from saying the truth, lest any of you think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that heareth of me. All right. So what is his concern? This is God working now, and this is God using Satan, and not anything else. You know, Satan would say, you know, talk to all the demons and stuff, you know, call them in and say, hey, I've been in a battle with God over Paul. Man, that's one of his top generals, and we've been going at it. And I tell you, you know, and I'm getting away with it. I'm bringing Paul down. I'm winning. I'm defeating Paul, and in defeating Paul, I'm defeating God. And they're all going, yeah, you know. You know, and Satan's going, yeah. For some reason, just then I saw the Joker faced. Anyway, so Paul's concern now that he's been dealt with is, man, I don't want people to think of me above. That's the word he uses. That which he should. All right? So we go, Christianity, leaders. We go, well, the higher I am, the more respect I get, the more that they will respect God because they'll see what God has done in my great life and that they too can become something like me, you know. And God will bless them the way that he has blessed me. All right? And Paul's going, do not look at me like I'm some big deal. What I have, what little I have is the Lord. And I'm sticking with that. All right. So, I guess we'll go longer than I thought we would. But you know how that Holy Spirit is. So verse 7, and, meaning also, because there's more to this story than all I got out of it was, I'm not going to be so proud. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. And I remember reading that and going, what? I thought the revelation of Christ would show you that you're not it and that it's not your mind and it's not your strength and it's not you and all this stuff and it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. What are you doing being exalted? And I can just hear the Lord thinking, you'll find out in your own life. You know, because there's stuff in us. And it's always wanting to be higher, and it's always wanting to, well, and our hurt feelings. Why didn't somebody mention my name in this situation? Or why wasn't I brought up? This was my baby, and they didn't, you know, or, you know, all of this stuff. I always hesitate to let the Holy Spirit say stuff, because people hear it, and they go, well, he's talking about me. That's the exact thing that I was thinking. You know, I mean, I get that a lot. And it's like, well, why are you said in our counseling that you wouldn't keep my stuff, you know, between. I'm going, I'm not talking about you or your counseling session. I'm just trying to say what the Holy Spirit's saying. So, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. All right, well, that doesn't make sense to most Christians. I mean, it might not make sense to you. Because if you just read the elements, I mean, if we had a board here where we could stick the elements on the board so that you could read it, you go, well, that doesn't really, you know, those are, you know, what is that thing that what two of these don't match or something like that? So it's lest I should be exalted by seeing you more. You called in Satan. Is that? See what I mean about? We would look at it and go, what? This shouldn't be in here. Because we don't get that. Unless you understand that Satan is a tool of the Lord. Then, you know, and let me just say this. Okay, let's talk about Almighty God. All-knowing God. Jehovah Jireh. All of that. Let's talk about all that. Shouldn't he be able to deal with us without the devil? Shouldn't he? So, since he is using the devil, shouldn't we, not him now, pointing to him, shouldn't you be able to deal with me without the devil? Now, us pointing back, and shouldn't I be able to get this without the devil? Or what the devil can bring into my life that God probably wouldn't do personally. Like talk bad about you or take something you really love or da 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 da. I hope you're understanding this. That God's not going to just, you know, God's not sitting up on the throne going, Jesus, I hate these people. You know. He's not doing that. You know? I mean, you know, maybe with the Holy Spirit, but not with Jesus. Jesus go, I died for these people. Anyway, sorry, I get off on this crazy stuff. But anyway, I'm trying to make you think. I'm trying to make you step outside of this nice little Christian box that is so small that it can't understand. By his spirit he garnished the heavens. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent. That's one sentence. There's just a semicolon in there. Okay? And it's trying to show you in that one sentence, one verse, verse 13, one sentence that God has allowed. And, you know, I mean, you can go further than that. I mean, the devil's bad and all that, right? Okay, but he makes Adam and Eve and puts them in a garden that's already got a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, maybe you never thought of this because we always think of the fall and the devil, okay? So we're walking through it as if we're Adam and Eve or whatever. We walk into the garden and then all of a sudden we see, you know, the devil, and then he tricks us, and then the fall happens, and now we've got an old nature. That's the way we see it. But we should see it. We should at least see this. When we walk into that garden, we see the tree of the knowledge of good and evil before we see the devil or before the fall and go, huh, what's that evil doing in here? Before the fall. I mean, we don't ask questions. I don't know. It's like you can read that story over and over and have never, ever went, there was evil in that garden before the devil did anything. The devil didn't create that tree. It says God did. So, now, there's a lot more to that, and I'd love to waltz you down that lane as we dance merrily to the reality of what I'm talking about behind that, but it doesn't follow with what we're talking about tonight. So, I just wanted to give you another curveball, you know, instead of all these softball pitches. Yeah. Oh, look! First base, you know. I want to throw stuff at you that'll make you think and make you go, okay, I need to stop being content with all the things that I've been taught and go to the Word and, you know, you don't even need me. You just, that's how I saw it. You just go to the Word and go, hey, wait a minute here. You know, just like in this story, but, you know, before the fall, before Satan, before sin, there's evil. And by doing that, you'll start coming to certain conclusions. By his Spirit, he hath garnished the heavens with these stars and with these, you know, all of this beauty and galaxies and constellations and stuff we don't even know, dark matter, I don't know what that is, you know, black holes, I don't know how that works, you know. But he did all of that, and then he also formed the crooked snake. Now, will we see this crooked snake with any more of the sharing? We will. We will. All right. So, we haven't even finished reading. Wow. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So he says those words twice. Exalted above measure. Exalted above measure. The same two phrases here. Verse 8, for this thing, do you hear the sort of attitude he has, you know, before he's really come to understand what this is? Of, well, for this thing, I sought the Lord. You sought the Lord, huh? Yeah, I sought the Lord. Yeah, I did the Christian thing. I sought the Lord. But see, what's behind that is that the Lord, which he'll say, that the Lord will get this out of my life, get the devil and get this circumstance out of my life and make my life easy and good. And, you know, this thorn in the flesh, which is apparently showing up in front of people, which we never want that. This thorn in the flesh, Lord, this is counterproductive to the testimony I'm trying to give forth of being a godly man, you know. And now they're going, well, I think he's got the devil with him. You know what I mean? I think the devil's involved with this guy. You know, and you're going, Lord, this looks bad. I'm gonna seek you. And I'm gonna seek you three times. Because I know if I ask you first time and you give me one answer second time, that it's true if you give me the same answer all three times. Deb, that's what I did with you. That's how I let you know that for sure this was, that I wasn't joking. All right. Messenger, Satan to buff me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I sought the Lord thrice or three times that it might depart from me. And there's your motivation. This can't be of God. Okay. Well, let me tell you, God, what can't be of God is that this end up turning his heart from trusting the Lord or understanding the Lord, or that Paul ends up becoming, you know, Satan himself. That's not good. And that's not the goal. But God's still in control because he knows what he's doing. Okay. For this thing I sought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Okay, so there's a whole new meaning of grace. I think we get into that in that other thing. But our definition of grace is wrong. It has to be wrong if God's definition of grace is that he'll send Satan to your life. Hello? See, I'm not telling you all the things you're probably, your conclusions you're coming to about me saying this. I'm telling you these things that you and I could all just settle down, back off of all of our hard stances on everything we know, and just say, Lord, how about this? Lord, if this is true, then open my heart and open my eyes, because I don't want to be resisting the devil when you're the one sending him and trying to use him. So I did that right there. And then he says, well, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Okay. So, he's bringing about Paul's weakness, but he's bringing about Paul's weakness so that he will learn God's weakness. Now, that, most people, that just flips them out. They can't understand that at all. Well, okay, again, don't listen to me, but ask the Holy Spirit, is there even a slight truth to some of these things? Because there is, because God is bringing weakness into Paul so that he can eventually not have that weakness, but have an understanding of God's weakness and be able to flow in all things with that. And then when that happens, the devil is not that big a deal. Can't explain all that right now, but so, all right. So, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, this is Paul's conclusion to this now, okay? Talk about wrong conclusions, and this is not a wrong conclusion. This is the Word of God, but this would not be our conclusion. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, okay? Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Okay, so we might be spiritual enough to pull one of those out. Therefore, I would take pleasure in necessities. But I don't want infirmities and reproaches and persecutions and distresses. I don't know what necessities is, Lord, but just give me that one. Okay, Paul is the guy that God used to write most of the Bible. And put him through this thing, not to teach him great truths by revelation. He already was doing that. But to form his son in him in a manner that it would be congruent with the Godhead. That it would be, the simpler version is that it would be Christ in him. A little more understanding is that it would be the Lamb in him that is not trying to control every circumstance, but is coming to the Lord and saying, I'm with you, regardless of how things are going. So I'll end with this little statement that I wrote. Here the problem is Paul... Is Paul in glorying, thinking highly, exalting himself so that others thought highly of him? God sends a messenger. Get the message, Paul. Get the message. A messenger of Satan. So he would not feel so good about himself. Very simply written. I feel like I'm a third grader reading this. The use of Satan and infirmity caused his orientation to change. Now, I want to end with this pertaining to that word orientation. I've addressed that in the past, but I can tell you that I never got the chance to really fully deal with that. And that maybe, even if y'all understand that in God, up is down and down is up or something like that, the orientation thing of having a different way of viewing things from God's point of view is so incredibly, and I'm not exaggerating, and I'm not trying to be dramatic, It is so incredibly not the way that we think compared to just understanding orientation. Go, oh, well, you know, this probably, I'm serious. And I will tell you this too. I'll close with this. You know, a lot of times the Lord, well, he's showing me stuff all the time. Honestly, he is. Ask my wife. I come down and I just go. I wait a long time before I ever share. I have mounds of stuff I've never shared for one reason. There's no more days in the week for me to do it. Not really. Because it must be worked into me. It must be worked into me. And I wasn't always that way. But I'm telling you that this is an important thing, that just hearing stuff in a class doesn't mean you got it. Or hearing from the Lord doesn't mean you got it. It is really, really important to lay it aside as a teaching for a while and let God work it in you. Let God do it. Because if you don't, you're going to be exalted above measure. You're going to think more highly of yourself, and therefore you're going to do things to allow, not make them, but allow people to think more highly of you. And it's not going to be good. I mean, the Lord will send the messenger of Satan, and then you'll end up, you'll probably end up missing the mark of what he's trying to do. Another attack of the devil, and I rebuke you, and I don't know why. I guess the enemy's always attacking me because I'm so close to God and spiritual. You know? So, I'm just saying, you know, God is good, and the Spirit of God is so wonderful, and he wants to show us the Lord and to really open our hearts and eyes and draw us in and out of us and into him in ways that I still don't know a pit. I just know a pittance. But we're so used to charging ahead. And that's all of us. That's all of us. It is all of us. So I'm just asking you to please, when you hear something or you hear something in a class or something, yeah, jot it down, but meditate on it day and night. Take the time to be with the Lord over it later, not a day or two or whatever. Man, I'm telling you, I got stuff. I'm still letting it hatch in me, you know. The Spirit is still brooding over and there is stuff that he'll share with you, and he'll share this with you. And then if you use it too quickly, it's gone. But if you wait on him, then eventually you will have gotten a certain thing in you, and he will go, okay, there was really more. I couldn't tell you this other part because you were just, you know, you would just run with this. But thank you. This is the Spirit of God, really. But thank you for waiting. You know, wait on the Lord. You ever heard that before? And thank you for just holding it in your heart, pondering it in your heart, because look, and you just go, oh my God, he's wonderful, and it's wonderful. And, you know, anyway, so let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your blessed Holy Spirit who has one job, and it's not to declare himself. It's not to be seen. It's not to His desire is not to be known as a miracle worker. He wants to reveal Christ in ways beyond what any man could teach us. So, Father, give us patience and help us to hold on to things, in some cases a long time, before we ever spill the beans to other people. And Father, I know what it's like to get so excited that we want to just get it out. I know. And that's wonderful that we feel so, that we feel it's so wonderful. But give us discipline and self-control, patience, love and joy and peace and gentleness and meekness and all those things by the Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.